All right. Anything, Will, you'd like to discuss before I get started?
No, I tried to do my homework, and hopefully I did. I don't know if you saw, I sent you a list of households.
Got them in front of me.
And then with the asset level and production.
Yep.
And I also put a column for trying to figure out, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of commonality, but I did try to categorize them as to, you know, some characterization of them, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got it. Now, let me just point something out. I will start every call with you roughly saying the same thing. Not the same thing, but it's not the same words, but it'll say the same thing. I always want to start with what is on your mind, and I'm driving home the fact that that's the way I want you to start your meetings with your clients. A lot of times, just think, if a client has something on their mind and they never get to talk about it, they're probably not going to be as good a listener as you would like for them to be.
Okay.
So it's always good to start a client meeting, and again, you don't say it the same way every time. Ms. Jones, I've got a lot of things that I want to cover. I'm excited about our meeting. But before I get started, is there anything on your mind? Is there anything on your top plate? Is there anything you'd like to talk about first? Even if they don't have anything, the fact that you're asking sends a sends a message that you want to send. And also think about it this way. I just heard this like 6 months ago. Some people are good listeners. And some people person to stop talking.
So now
you get the
you
point?
Broke up there. You said some people are good listeners and what?
And some people are just waiting for the other person to stop talking.
Yeah.
In other words, they're not listening. They're not present. They're not listening to what the person says. So all of your meetings, and again, I'll drive that home every time we talk. All of the meetings start with anything you like to talk about before I get started. However you want to say that. Nope, Will, everything's good. Let's get going. You want to start that way. All right. One of the things that I asked you to do since our last call was to recognize when somebody recognizes your value. We think the best time to get a referral conversation started is when value is given by you and that value is recognized by the client. So did you have any conversations this week or since our last call that the client recognized value in something you were doing?
Quite frankly, no, but I haven't had that many client calls. So.
Okay. All right. Just continue to do that. That launches one of our referral discussions. I'm not wanting you to follow up on it. If somebody said, "Hey, Will, I really appreciate how quickly you got back to me on this," what I want you to do is confirm that you heard it, and you say that, "Ms. Jones, well, thank you for saying that. Well, we work really hard to provide that level of service." You confirm that you heard it, and then
well,
later on.
Client interrupt you. Sorry, I did have one client refer to herself as your very happy client. So I guess that's kind of indirect.
That isn't indirect. That's direct. Clients are never going to come. Hardly ever do they say, "Gosh, Will, you're adding a lot of value." That's just not the way people talk. But people will a lot of times they'll say thank you for this, thank you for that. That's a clear recognition of value. And again, just to plant the seed here, don't want you to follow up on it yet. Tell me again what that client said.
It could have been because she was saying, I'm going to my beach house and I can't get together with you. And she signed it, you're very happy client.
Okay. Well, that,
she
so that was.
She could be just saying
was,
she's very happy. It could not have been in reference to me. She could be saying, I didn't have anything to do with you, Will, but I'm just very happy.
Yeah, well.
If I were she, I'd be very happy too.
Well, here's the way that would. You would follow that up. Again, not ready to do it yet. I just want you to be ready when the time comes. Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. We work really hard to help our clients be in that state of mind. So you've confirmed that you've heard it. And then later on in Supernova, you would say something, if it was appropriate, you would say something along the lines of, I really like happy clients. I have a lot of them. Is there anyone that you can think of who might appreciate that same type of service or whatever? Again, we're going to get to that, but the easiest thing we teach from an acquisition point of view and the most effective is when clients recognize your value. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To repeat, we got four primary goals for the first 4 weeks. This is week two. Bring your practice down to its core. You can't give a premium level of service if you have too many clients. That's not an issue for you right now. Second thing is to establish a minimum for new business. We'll do a lot toward that today. Third is develop the definition of your ideal client. And then the fourth thing we're going to get started, in the first 4 weeks is inform your clients about the refinements to your practice. Big, a lot to do, very doable. Now, you've got that list you sorted it by assets. Let's look at that list, and I want you to look at the number 10 person on that list.
Yeah.
All right. Is that person someone who you feel you have a great relationship with?
I'm gonna cheat. I gotta go look and see who that is. let's see. What is there? I'm trying to figure out.
It's 1.455 million.
Yeah, I may have messed up, and let me see if I've. I hope I didn't.
Just put the email you sent me, and then you'll have it.
Oh, sorry, I found it. Yeah, okay, I know who we're talking about. What was your question?
All right. A good relationship with that client?
I'd say excellent.
Okay. All right. Do you, as you look at this, look right in the middle of your of the practice, the median account in your practice. So that would be, and you don't need the name. You just need to have the numbers in front of you. You've got 50 people on your list. So
yeah.
The median would be, the median would be number 25. That's 525, around 525,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want you to look at the last person on the list.
It's my little girl.
Okay. Well, you certainly aren't going to get rid of your little girl. You made a little note about that, and I wouldn't want you to do that. But what about number 49? You got $53,000 with you. Why is that person in your practice? And I'm not asking with prejudice.
No,
that's an honest question. Why is that person in your practice?
For that. Well, there's a justification for that. You want to know what it is?
Yes.
Okay, she is the wife of a much better relationship, and also a personal friend. So let's see, she is the wife of the trustee in relationship number 17, which is obviously not the biggest one, but it's not a bad one either.
Well, are you saying she's married to a bigger relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. That we do everything by household.
Well,
and one of the
I don't know, she literally would not be in the, I don't know, but anyway, I could stick her in there, I guess.
How about number 48?
Well, let's stay here for just a second. One of the things that people usually find when they go through this exercise, and this is a good exercise to do on a semi-annual, quarterly basis, whatever, is they, at Merrill, it was called a link. A husband and wife, it would be one household, if that's the way they wanted it. So this lady really is attached to a bigger relationship, correct?
Yes, and number 48 is two in the same relationship, so I probably ought to plug those all in together.
Well,
48 and 49 probably go in with number, I should move them into relationship 17. So
when these accounts are linked, at least in most places, you get one statement. You get a link statement. Everything comes in one envelope. Audrey, do you have that same ability?
We do, but we don't want that for these relationships. She's related to she is the spouse of one of the trustees. So we need to keep the trust separate from her personal account. And I see what you're saying, but we don't want it linked for householding purposes for that reason, because she's essentially considered a different person. She's not part of
that. I get that.
We can't share some of the, like, the other trustee.
No.
We can't literally put all that in one envelope, for example.
I don't want you to. I don't
okay.
want you to. You answered my question. What I do want you all to hear is I want you to always make sure that accounts are linked if they should be linked. For some reason, every once in a while, my accounts at Merrill, when I was working, I had like seven. Sometimes, most of the time, they came in one envelope, and it was a cover page, and it was all neat and clean. But sometimes the link fell apart. I'd get seven envelopes.
Yeah.
So just make sure that if an account should be linked, that it is linked. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now, Supernova, metrics are done on 100 households per household, per FA. You're way under that. A great starting point. Everybody gets the Supernova service, which we talked about last week. Monthly scheduled calls, rapid response to any questions, problems, inquiries. And multi-generational planning. We have another category, and this is important.
Yeah, I got a bunch of butlers, I think.
Yeah, well, but you got to make sure, and this is how you keep your practice clean, and it doesn't grow the way you don't want it to grow. A butler is someone you have to keep. The lady we talked about, number 49, it'd be stupid to send her somewhere else. You don't want to do that. You're not going to fire your daughter.
Is there, I think the answer is no, but there's no category below butler.
No. There's no category above butler. Hang on just one sec. I had it on. No, well, that's a really good question. You want to be able to say to your clients, I have one level of service.
Yeah.
This is what my clients get. I don't have an A book, a B book, a C book. I have a practice that gets a specific service model. Very attractive. I had two calls yesterday, different people, same firm, and both of them in the first half of the year, hard to believe we're in the second half of the year, had opened almost as many, brought in as much in assets as they brought in all of last year, roughly about $7 million each. That's pretty good halfway through the year, net new money. Clients like this service model. Prospects like this service model. So I'm taking a long time to answer your question. Is you have one level of service. You make an exception for people that you can't, that it makes no sense to send to somebody else. So butlers aren't where you hide people. Butlers are people you have to keep. Got it?
One final question about butlers. Not that I'm banging up against the ceiling of 100 relationships, but are they included in the 100 or are they outside the 100?
No, they're not included in the 100 because they don't get Supernova service.
Okay.
You offer your clients, Will, monthly scheduled contact. Now, not everybody is going to want to do that, and later Supernova, I'll walk you through that. But you don't offer for a butler, and almost by definition, a butler is a smaller relationship. You offer them semi-annual contact with one review. And here's the thought there: let's say your best client has an adult child, and they've got $25,000 with you. You don't want them sitting around the Thanksgiving table, and the father says, "Well, how's Will treating you?" And his daughter says, "Well, I hadn't heard from Will in about 2 years." That's not gonna improve your relationship. So you offer a butler semi-annual contact with one review. Got it?
Well. Is that consistent? I thought it said butlers get 4 contacts.
Well, that was my next thing. Rob Knapp and I agree on almost everything.
Not that.
I think neither one of us think the other one's wrong. We just like our idea better.
Okay, so you're
if you've got a $50,000, there are a lot of $50,000 relationships in this business who never hear from their advisor. There are, unfortunately, a lot of million-dollar relationships that don't hear from their advisor on a regular basis. That's good news for you. So when you're offering, if you want to offer quarterly, that's fine with me. But my suggestion
more sensible.
Well, here's what I would do. Here's what I would ask you to do. If you think start with 2 and 1, and if you want to go to 4, then you can go to 4. But once you start with 4, you can't go to 2. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what I want you to do is to go through this list, look for people who should be householded. We've had that conversation. But do you see someone who, Audrey, you said somebody a minute ago, you screamed out number 48 or 47, whatever. Is there somebody there who ought to go?
What do you mean, go into that relationship?
I was hoping that we could. I didn't know where you were taking us down which trail, so I was just trying to see if we chose number 20 or 48, then what were you going to say? Does that make sense?
I didn't understand. I heard your words. I'm not understanding what you're saying.
So I guess, like, I I assume that what you were trying to do was find somebody that wasn't necessarily householded with somebody else. Is that what you were trying to do by the initial
That's a byproduct of what I'm doing here today. What the number one thing I want to do today is get your practice down to its core.
Okay.
As I said a minute ago, our metrics are done 100 per FA,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of FAs have fewer than 100 households. So it's not about getting down to 100 or getting down to a number. It's about getting down to your core. Are there people on that list who aren't, I mean, I see somebody here, the last four people on the, well, it's the last three, have done no business. Now you explained one, but if there are people in your practice who are hard to get along with, they don't return your phone calls, when they call, your face wrinkles because you don't want to talk with them. Why you don't want those people in your practice? You don't have time for it, especially somebody who's got 50 grand and does no business. I was doing this exercise with a UBS guy in Florida probably 5 years ago, and I said, "Tell me about the last person on the list." I said, "What kind of production do they do?" And the answer was, -$35. There's no embellishment in this story. I said, -$35. I said, "How do you do that?" He said, "I'm waiving her fees." And then the next thing he said is, "I'm paying this woman to do no business." So we're just trying to get it, Audrey, we're just trying to get the practice tight. I want there to be as few clients or households as possible. I'm not looking for a slash and burn. I'm not looking for you to fire your father-in-law. I just want you to get your practice to its core. So what I'd ask, and part of how you're going to roll this thing out is I have reduced the size of my practice. If there's nothing to reduce, and that may be, I've never seen that where there wasn't something to reduce. You say, "I've always had an intentionally smaller practice." So what I would like you to do for next week is to tell me how many people you think your practice will be after you identify the ones that are going to be leaving your practice. They don't have to have left your practice. I just want to know what that number is going to be once the people you've identified who don't belong in your practice leave. Got it?
Okay, I'm not totally sure I understand.
Here's what I want you to do next week. I want you to say, "Rob, I'm making the number up, 45 people in my practice. I haven't moved them out yet, but I've identified the people who are not going to be in my practice anymore."
Okay. I want to go ahead.
All right. So that's it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I know some of these people, I may not get rid of them immediately, but I got this thought in my head. Some of these people are kind of on probation. If they don't, like let's say, for example, if they don't start taking my advice and in the book or in the book y'all got talks about people who don't take your advice, it's a battle. I like that image, it's a battle. And at some point, you don't need the battle. And so some of these people, I'd say, are kind of, in my mind, they're kind of on probation. If we don't start working together more cooperatively, or they don't start listening to me, and then everything, I'm like, it's just like pulling teeth to try to get them to do what I think they ought to do. So I'm just thinking there are people who are kind of on probation. If the relationship doesn't improve, we just need to bite the bullet and get rid of them, right?
Yes. The only reason I'm hesitating is I'm wondering why.
Why you needed probation?